12:30 here at KPTZ in Port Townsend, and as usual, Thursdays at 12:30, it is time for Brewocracy Now! I'm Taylor Clark, and I'm here with my co-host, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, and John is live in the studio, and this is the first time we've done this, I don't know, since the Nixon administration, I'd say.
Yeah, I think it was either Nixon or Ford.
Yeah, the last time we were here in the studio together. So it's great to have you here.
Oh, man. I love this place, and to look out the window, check in on the dog park, make sure Sage is okay.
Where is the dog?
Oh, I think the dog's in the other room. See you in the flesh, and probably, I'm going to guess the audio is better.
It is, yeah. And I did get some feedback from listeners.
Feedback?
No, but a request for you to please find a headset. Headset Anyway,
here I am. This is the best headset in town.
This is the best headset. This really allows you to be heard and understood clearly, and that's
as much as possible. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes a message coming out of my mouth is unintelligible. I do my best. So the best sound equipment can't fix.
If it's
message.
Unintelligible, I'm supposed to ask follow up questions.
Exactly. That's why we're here.
That's the way it works. Also, it will be a good time to mention that I am looking. At email at dj@kptz.org. If you have questions for John, he'll be here until 12:55. And if you're bored with what we're talking about and you think you have a better question, send it in.
Yeah, and I'll be monitoring my emails remotely right now too, because you could also, I believe on your website, you send people to my email.
Oh, do we send them to yours?
Yeah, we need to capture this as public record. So,
And anything sent to you is public record.
Of course. For until the next Nixon administration, we'll have record of that.
Yeah, and of course, what we do, we then pull out of our audio logger and put up on our website.
I love it.
For posterity. So if you want to go back over what we're talking about, you can do that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's a conversation to, you know, just gently fall asleep to.
Yeah, it's a guided meditation.
It's a guided meditation. Breathe in, please. Breathe out.
Yeah.
So what do we, I mean, gosh, a lot's happened. It always happens, right?
I forgot to write down that. Yes, storm. We were going to talk about the storm.
And like the literal, the metaphorical, I mean, there's so much. And I feel like, do I put you on the back foot and ask you questions as a co-host and say, what the heck happened at KPTZ when the power went out? How'd you guys survive?
Well, that was very difficult. Mm. And we have been off the air for the last couple days, on and off. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back on, and then we go off again. And it's frustrating, as I'm sure it is for everybody who was without power. Mm-hmm. And once their power came back on, was maybe without internet. And we all got caught by that same thing. But we have a high-speed communication line that we leased. It's our line. It goes from here to our transmitter. And it broke.
Mm.
And we don't quite know where it's broken. There's an underground section and an above-ground section. I don't believe a tree fell on it, so it may be the underground section. And they're still trying to track that down. But we have been working on another solution.
Clearly, because people can hear us.
Because we're on the air now. Our streaming was never down. So people were able to stream us. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give a shout out to Jeffco PUD.
Yes.
And to NoahNet, who have been working hard on a fiber link that we had set up that we're going to be using at our new location, but we pushed that forward a little ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. That is up and running now, and we are basically backhauling our signal over to Fort Worden and then out. Mm-hmm. So shout outs to Will O'Donnell, who is the PUD communications guy, and also KPTZ, our technical team, John Miller, and Mike Carroll, who live, I think John lives near the fort because he had to go in and reboot something this morning when we went down. Yeah. And also Bill Putney, former port commissioner and our longtime chief engineer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know this about Bill, but he has FAA certifications and he's a ham operator, and he's just really into all things technical. And he's been helping us from his new home in Oregon to get back up and going. So four of these guys have been really active in getting this set up.
That's amazing. And I think the PUD, I mean, they've been pretty much just twiddling their thumbs this last week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, No, I mean, talk about heroes. I mean, there are people out there who have not slept for a long time, who have been working through crazy conditions.
And just, I think that was part of the problem with our outage is it uses the same personnel. And, and if it's a question of whether you have heat or, you know, we're on the air, that I think the heat went out. And I've been thinking about, you know, the PUD must have a person whose job it is to look at some kind of equation which has the number of people out in the numerator and the effort in the denominator, and they look at, and how do they choose?
Oh man!
And so I know that person is there, and by God, I don't want that job. but I'm glad they did it, and and I know people. There are still some people without power, right?
There are. It's a, I mean, gosh, it's not easy to say that if you're listening from a crank radio or something like that, or at someone's house as a friend, and you still don't have power. I mean, gosh, it's not the best thing to be without power when it's so cold. And but I have to say, hats off to the PUD crew who have really sliced through some real significant challenges. I mean, I've only been here for 3 years now, slightly over, I could say. And I don't think I've seen quite that level of wind speed. And, you know, in my survey of town and the county that I did the day after, and actually the night of, I don't think I've seen as many trees down in one event, at least since I've been here. And I'm sure that we've had worse storms. But just to track the movements of the PUD, particularly getting things back on across a pretty wide swath of county with some big numbers out. I mean, we, you know, everyone was out without power, you know, and to take that back, and it's not just, oh, let's remove the tree from the line. It's like, you know, the line snapped and like the actual, you know, power pole's gone.
I hear they ran out of poles for a while, right?
I mean, it's extraordinary what they've done. And I think to pile on to your thanks, I mean, that's one person I have not, I'm in contact regularly with Kevin Street, their general manager. I've tried to leave him alone as much as possible this week.
You figure he's busy.
He's a little busy, and his crews are too, and Will deserves a good shout out, I'm sure. But also, you know, we've got crews at the city, and we weren't as hard hit as the wider county, I guess. You know, our street crew was out closing roads. Our police team was out making sure people were safe. Our facilities team was in the building trying to get the boiler to restart here at Mountain View and in City Hall. You know, we had city staff who were out into the wee hours of the morning of the storm, you know, until 3:30 in the morning at least, making sure that people don't drive over live lines and that people are safe. So I have to say to the city crews who come rain, snow, sleet, freezing rain, wind, they're going to be out there and they're doing that for the community. And it's a huge...
I'm glad they were there. Yeah. How does it, does the city get involved in doing some of the tree clearing if maybe if wires aren't involved, the city is going to be?
Yeah, the crews are out there. Yeah. We have crews that work in the right of way. You know, and I think I'm trying to remember from memory, I'm probably not going to get it right, but we had four or five, you know, closures that I went out and looked at in the morning, and they, you know, they were not insignificant. Some of them took a little while to clear. But again, like that algorithm that you were referring to of like, where do we start? I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You know, where's the...
How important is the road? How big is the tree? You know, how many trees in a row?
What's the safety concern? I mean, I did see a tree that came down kind of right next to a house and on a car and on somebody actually, I know the person at the property. And I mean, it's hard to see, but, you know, and actually touring out in the county later that day, you know, coming across lines that have been down. But, you know, we're talking about individual homes and everyone matters. I mean, that's not to say that those individual homes don't matter. But if you can make an improvement to get, you know, 8,000 people back online with one move versus one house.
It's an algorithm. Number of people over the effort. And they have to choose. And I'm sure it's a tough choice.
Yeah. But the percentages are almost back to 100. I look at the map, the PUD utility map. You could see the number of outages and where they are. It's an awesome tool, and they've gone from like nearly 100% out in some parts of the county to nearly 100% back on. So well done, PUD.
Well done.
Thanks to the city crews too.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you just quickly a street. I drove up a street that has been completely repaved. It was, I think, perhaps the roughest street in the city.
Oh, and now it's the finest.
And this is over, I can't remember the name of the street.
It's Walnut Street.
It's right by the southeast corner of Fort Worden. on the back route.
Very
around.
Directional. Very well done. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's Walnut Street heading down or up, right around the fort there. Look, that was, I believe it was June 5th. I remember that because I there was an event that I participated in that day. Came back, could barely walk because it included 26 miles of running, and was quickly out walking around surveying damage from from the rain that we had that day. So I remember the cause very well. And let's be honest, Walnut Street was in tough shape to begin with.
It was tough.
But
right.
That rainstorm really washed things out.
And it washed over the edge and kind of undercut it, right?
It did. And so it was a perfect storm, and kind of literal and figuratively, where that road just got hammered. And, you know, we did a lot to try to quickly get that to move. But it takes time to get out there. And actually, even though we did contract out for the paving, you know, our streets crew did a remarkable amount of that work in-house. And so, you know, I guess the message to the community is, you know, it does take time to work on street improvements. But when an emergency like that happens and something washes out almost completely, you know, the crew can come in and actually save a lot of city resources and taxpayer money by using their technical know-how to think through the stormwater drainage.
Rather than sub out the whole thing to it.
I mean, I think all up, I'm going to get this wrong, but ballpark, you know, is about $40,000 of, you know, contract to get that paved and redone. And of course, if we had to go out to contract all of the work, that would have easily tripled or even beyond that. So, you know, our in-house capacity saves us money, and the team does a great job. And when we're able to leverage their skills on one particular section of roadway, they can get it done. And it looks really good. I went out there during a storm a couple weeks ago, right after it was paved, you know, kind of middle of the night. I think I might've said in my city manager report a couple weeks ago, I literally almost bumped into Steve King, who was out there at 5 a.m. doing the same thing, wondering, well, I wonder how this is working. And we go,
'cause it has a different contour than the roads. I understand it rises up on the edge, right?
It does. And it actually drains down into a ravine. And to look at that, it was almost
with a big pipe.
Yeah, it's a good size pipe.
Yeah.
You know, to come in there when the rain was hammering down at some god awful hour in the morning, and to see almost like no water, it was almost a force field of water on the street. There was nothing. You know, it was draining perfectly. Of course, the leaves sometimes create some challenges there, but it was a job well done. And I think we've gotten a lot of compliments about it. You know, the street has been widened some, because you will find people walking and biking up that street.
You know, the irony of this is I was driving up this street in the spring.
Yeah.
And as I was driving up the street, slowly, because it's rough,
of course,
and it's used by pedestrians. Yeah. And I happened to find a woman down.
Oh gosh!
Right there, and she had stepped off of, you know, this is the classic way we fall on Port Townsend streets. Oh. She'd stepped off the edge of the paved section, and her leg had folded over, and she was down. She and her dog was standing there, going, hey, "Come on, Mom, we gotta go."
Oh my!
And so I pulled over and, you know, rescued her and delivered her home.
Wow!
So and right there on that very section. So I was pleased to see that it's now wider and smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And from the standpoint of walking, it used to be you'd have to kind of take your chances with the automobiles.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we can have a little more room to do it. So.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit of a signal to, if we can tick down that list of what we'd call bank capacity projects, you know, in the budget this year.
Oh, was this a bank capacity project?
No. But in the budget this year, we're focusing specifically on street improvements from that extra levy capacity that we have.
Right.
And we're recommending to council, and, you know, we had a reading last week and they seem to enjoy what we proposed to them so far. But we'll be taking a similar approach across the city, using that bank capacity money to do those same kind of savvy street repairs.
So looking at it point by point,
yeah,
trouble areas where we know
and
we have.
And that
problems.
List is online. You could see the list of what was on that list. You know, that's being presented as part of the budget. But you know, it's the same kind of thing. You're thinking about stormwater and streets and connectivity and active transportation and
shared infrastructure,
yep.
Bikers and walkers,
exactly.
and all that stuff.
So
yeah.
That, you know, and then if someday we actually have a much more dedicated source of funding to really double down on street improvements, then that's the kind of thing that we could see further throughout the city.
So that was the city council decision, was to allocate, is it all of the bank capacity resources to street improvements?
That was, I believe it was a workshop, and we workshopped through that list. And last year, if you remember, it was mostly parks and open space improvements. Mm-hmm. This year, it was almost exclusively street improvements. And no decisions were made. I think it was workshopped, and we had some feedback and some questions and some great dialogue. It goes into the budget process. They didn't formally vote, but it goes into the list that is presented as part of the budget. So I expect, we have another conversation that's budget related on Monday, but really the next touch point is on December 5th when the budget comes to council for final approval, public hearing and final approval.
You just had a budget meeting on Monday. Right?
We had quite a meeting on Monday. And
David Timmons, the PDA director, mm-hmm. and David King, the mm-hmm. PDA board.
Board chair,
There, yep. And there were apparently some questions.
There were questions. I feel like, where do we start? There was a number. My tick list for that meeting.
What was your takeaway?
We concluded that annual report, which is required by the PDA,
right.
To come and give us a status report.
And this was sort of the follow on.
Follow up. So we did that. We had a special a proclamation for Native American Heritage Month, which was perhaps more complicated than normal. I'll at least acknowledge the presence of both a government-to-government tribal-recognized entity and the Port Gamble Sklallam, who were there, as well as local tribal members from other tribes that have camped in the vicinity and who have been here for their whole lives that also are valued. But as a community, I think we're unpacking how to recognize government-to-government versus individuals and make sure that we're inclusive. I don't know if we have a right answer there. I don't know, as a white colonialist if I can even understand the complexity, but certainly to recognize and respect that there is complexity, mm-hmm. And to find a place to not shy away from that, but to honor that as part of that proclamation was what the intent was. And that's how we started our meeting.
So that was the first thing in the meeting.
It was interesting and complicated. And I think, a good learning opportunity for many people, including myself.
There was public comment on that, I take it?
Wasn't public comment. There was public comment on what was after that, which was, I'll back up.
Yeah.
We had another special presentation, actually, after the PDA had their conclusion of theirs. We had a special presentation on kind of what we were calling our housing policy roadmap.
Yeah.
A lot of folks in attendance to talk about that. Uh-huh. I guess I heard at least one theme of feeling where did this come from? And why did we get noticed so late? I gently pushed back on that in the meeting, but I'll say, in truth to the, I've pledged open, honest dialogue here,
yep.
as part of the show. It was disappointing. And I think disappointing because, we have been engaging for quite some months.
This is the Engage PT. You've been reaching out.
We had a couple under the tent. We had an ICG meeting on this. We talk about it on the show quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly,
it's my favorite topic.
And it's not like this was a decision point. This is like, hey, this is what we've heard over the past, half year. Here's where we think we want to go. There's great ideas in the mix. We did a sticky note exercise with 100 people under the tent.
Let me spin it for you for a minute.
Oh, please.
I think I can actually I can actually help on this because I'm wondering if you're getting feedback from members of the public about, hey, I didn't know this was going on, and how come I didn't know this was going on. That's actually evidence that the outreach is starting to work. You're actually reaching people who didn't know before. So it's unfortunate that they feel if somebody feels excluded from the process because they missed the first two meetings.
Right.
But that's really an opportunity for those people to jump on board and say, don't miss any more meetings. Join us. We want that input.
Right? Yeah. And we need, as a city, I think I said that night, we need to get out and meet people where they are, because not everyone's going to love to come to a city council meeting. I understand that. But I think that
responsibility. No, I don't like it. But
I'm not going to comment on that one myself. No, I enjoy it. It's what I do. But I think, maybe skipping through the kind of bumpy, why weren't we included or invited, or, and maybe just me holding ground and saying, look, you are and you were, and I've had lots of conversations with folks, and so is my team. Let's not get into a squabble about who should know what and when. Let's actually talk about what we're going to do together. And I think that's the tone of the conversation forward is, you know, no silver bullets were put on the table and there aren't any. How do we work together around some of our most pressing challenges with housing, affordable housing, mm-hmm. workforce housing, and do so spending our energy making change instead of holding ourselves back? And I guess my view is that, you know, every effort we spend trying to undercut each other or to, you know, not dialogue with good intent is effort wasted that will slow us down solving the problem. So I was, you know,
if we spend time pointing fingers about hey, our outreach wasn't working, that time we actually could be having the dialogue.
Come with a solution. Let's be here. Let's, you know, here's a great group that we could talk to.
Those are people you'd like to see back again.
I would.
And you would like them involved in the process.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, in fact, I think that's what we need. We actually don't need camps here. We don't need groups. We need everybody realizing that, I mean, I can make the argument that every single person here has some direct relationship to our lack of affordable housing supply and needs to be part of the solution in some way. Okay. You know, of course, the city plays a big role there, but we're not going to solve that ourselves. Advocacy plays a great role there. They're not going to come up with all the solutions themselves. We really need to be working much more holistically. So I want people to know they can go back to that conversation and see the slides that Emma Bolin, our planning director, presented mm-hmm. about kind of where we're at and where we could go and actually reflect.
This was part of the packet for Monday's meeting.
A lot of the ideas that the community themselves had put forward, we've started to bring together and say, here's a way forward together. So we'll always welcome that, you know, that dialogue and that conversation. The thing that was a little disappointing too, later in the meeting, literally we talked through roughly $500,000 of spending on affordable housing related items that are in the budget. And everyone had left before then. And I went, oh my gosh, this is a great chance for us to know, is this on the right track? We're talking about positions. We're talking about initiatives. We even, you know, we got the authority to spend the $500,000 worth of funding we secured from the county to get Evans Vista ready.
Right.
So no one was in the room then except for council members and staff.
So this is actually, you know, if a member of the public is going to take the time, which is appreciated, to show up at council and provide input, mm-hmm. Read through the whole packet. And if there's something that's on that topic, stick around.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing too, and we're going to try to continue to evolve our way forward for how we communicate and how we engage, including rebooting Engage PT, which we did recently. We did a show on that with Jim just a couple weeks ago. But also, you know, there are opportunities. We're going to be working with the community in Evans Vista. You know, there's going to be tangible opportunities where people can show up and help us envision what that looks like. We're going to be looking at code amendments to think, how do we free up residential, you know, housing in our community? We're going to do that with our community. So, you know, you don't have to just go to a city council meeting. In fact, that's kind of like late in the game.
Yeah.
There's going to be a raft of opportunities. And what I'd love to avoid is...
And more opportunities for dialogue rather than public comment monologue.
Yeah. You took the word right out of my mouth. I mean, that's what I was hoping is we all get smarter when we talk and listen to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to kind of get into camps and stances, and I don't think that's particularly helpful.
Yeah. We did get a question here.
Oh, great.
And I should, we're kind of running out of time, and I haven't reminded people that you're listening to Bureaucracy Now.
We are.
We're talking to City Manager, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow.
Yeah.
And I think this might be a question you're going to have to take back. But the question is, what happened to the City of Port Townsend webcam at the fire station on Lawrence Street?
If I can recall, great question. Thank you for taking the time to ask me that question. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was a web security issue with that cam.
The camera itself had a security issue.
And it was sort of open access. And I think in consultation with our IT team, we determined that we needed to make some changes. And I'm not sure if that resulted in that coming down or just the ability to move it or access it. But I think what we were trying to solve there was a web security problem. But as you said, Taylor, I will take note of this and I will go back to my team and make sure I get a good answer to that. And if that person is still listening to that answer, that sort of half answer to that question, send me an email. I'll make sure that the answer gets back
to you directly. I'll forward the email to you.
Great.
And then you'll have it.
Okay.
So we have about 3 minutes left. I would still like to know what your takeaway was on the PDA stuff, and I hate to hold your feet, but that's a topic. That's one of my favorite topics.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
did you learn anything?
I mean, I'll be honest, No.
All right.
Because I'd read the materials.
Ah, okay.
Because I regularly connect with their executive director and their board. We're going through a nomination process right now for PDA board members.
Additional board members, yep.
And you know, we do have a financial oversight responsibility that's in our code. And so I meet with quarterly to review financial reports with my finance director and with the PDA and with State Parks. But that's not the only role we play. And I think what came out of that night was also a question around, well, what is the role of the city and the PDA working together? Mm-hmm. And again, you know, we can kind of go back in time and point fingers at board members who are no longer there.
That's not productive.
Right. Well, how do we do this together? It's still a complicated project and there's still a lot of challenges, but there is movement forward. And so I think it's an opportunity for us to say, right, we're kind of on, it's the same team here. You know, State Parks, PDA, all those partners are creative.
It's the same set of players. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if for this town would not be this town without all that's at Fort Worden. And
yes.
So let's make sure that there's a stable, sustainable recovery. And actually, it opens up an opportunity for what's possible there, which I think, you know, just use your imagination. Anybody listening, can you imagine what that could be? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's driving us forward. And so I applaud the PDA board members who are, you know, it's not a paid position. There's no glamour.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. And they've volunteered to try to fix what was almost unfixable.
Yeah.
And they've actually come through the fire.
So you feel like the transparency is increasing and progress is being made?
Yes. I think it's a journey. I think we need continued, you know, work together. But absolutely, they've hurtled through a bunch of difficult, you know, milestones, and we continue to point forward together.
Do you feel like that we're seeing better stability?
I mean, I think that's yes,
because it seemed sort of precarious, you know, a couple of years ago, a year ago, whenever it was when the you know, there was a bunch of articles in the paper.
That's right. Yeah. I think, I mean, I don't want this to be a mixed message. On one hand, we take that fiduciary oversight, not responsibility directly, but that oversight responsibility very seriously. Mm-hmm. Not everyone feels necessarily the same when they're feeling like they're being scrutinized, but that's our job. And so please, everyone, that's what we're going to do. On the other hand, and at the same time, you know, I'm grateful for, I mean, it's not just the PDA board. I mean, there's a hospitality board. There are individuals that are working just to make things better. And there are groups, nonprofits that you will soon be joining out there.
We have joined,
that
yes.
Have put so, oh yeah, that's true. I guess you're already there.
We're part of the Creative Alliance.
That alliance has actually, I mean, the good feelings, smarts, know-how, and collaboration in that group, for instance, is driving us forward.
Yeah.
So there's just, you know, we could do the oversight, make sure the books are right and that there's, you know, a degree of second look at that.
What you're saying is there's not, it used to be we just had one organization kind of,
yeah,
and then the other players, the state. But mm-hmm. what you're saying here, I think, is I'm hearing that we're starting to proliferate in terms of the players that are working on different pieces of it. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And I think stability takes, you know, there's stability in different realms. I think, you know, each respective group is finding feet that they hadn't had before. And then we're centering ourselves together, knowing that, you know, it's almost like what we've said with Kerry Height in the community health and wellness, or with the golf course. You know, we can't really do this by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those, it's same thing with housing. We can't really be the only actors to change the game fully. And I think the same thing with the PDA. I think we've realized we need each other, and we need to have difficult conversations, which we did at council on Monday. I mean, that was probably not a comfortable conversation, but it's necessary to move ourselves forward.
Good. Yeah. Oh, and look, we're out of time.
Hey.
I think you called that right. Let's do the music part of it.
Let's do the music part.
And this is... So I should just say, that's it for Bureaucracy Now. John, thank you for joining us live here in the studio.
Always a pleasure.
And we'll be back next Thursday at 12:30, and
yes,
we will discuss
more
all things Port Townsend, and maybe we can find another street to fix.
Yes. I love it.
I'm going to go look at that list.
Thank you, Taylor.
That was good.
Thanks, everybody.